We move from one hymn directly into another. This part of Philippians is often known as the Christ hymn. It begins, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The imagery in this passage and the language we steal regularly in the rest of our liturgy and in our hymnody and lots of places. It is suggested that this is actually a hymn about something they were actually singing in worship. So this is a hymn about a hymn, the scholars suggest. But we borrow the language from it for a number of other things. We talk about death, even death on a cross. We talk about being made empty. We talk about being poured out. And it was that pouring out imagery that caught me as I prepped this passage that spoke. That combined with Mother's Day reminded me of two commercials that happened when I was growing up. The first is the Mother's Day sort of commercial because it reminds me of the role that mothers so often play. It's for the power company, of all things. I mean, but it's this guy, and he's standing on the front porch of his house, and this is how old the commercial is. He has a cordless phone, not a cellular phone, just a cordless phone. And he is standing in the front door, and the lights are blazing, and he says, "Hey, Mom, yeah, we're in. And by the way, tell Dad, every light in the house is on, and I'm air conditioning the entire neighborhood." Moms often played that buffer zone between children and fathers, don't they? The second one I remember has a picture of two kids who are clearly siblings, and there is one glass of orange juice. You already see the problem, right? And they say very maturely that they will split it, and they each get half. And one of the kids picks it up, and he lifts it to his lips. And he puts down an empty glass and he says, "My half was at the bottom." So those are the things that are influencing the sermon today, in addition to the word of the Lord. One of the challenges for me in this passage is it goes against everything we do as pastoral care. We spend a lot of time in pastoral care warning caregivers not to give everything they have. Because if they are poured out, if they are emptied out, they have nothing to give, nothing to stand on, nothing to strengthen them, nothing to provide them with. And we give this advice early, and we give it often, and we give it regularly, and we're used to having it ignored. Okay. This imagery of Jesus Christ being poured out, if we had kept on reading, Paul puts into the words of Jesus that he is being poured out as a libation, poured out as a drink. We had a container of ketchup at the house. You know, it's one of the ones with the cap that you're supposed to turn upside down. It's designed so that it's supposedly stable on the cap so that it drains out. How many of you have ever been able to get all of the ketchup out of one of those containers? Right? I say that partly as a sense of understanding what does it really mean to be emptied. Very rarely do we actually empty something all the way out. There's always, not always, but most of the time, just a little bit hanging there around the edges that will not come out. So this imagery of Jesus Christ emptying himself on many levels is contrary to the experience we have every day. We go to great extremes not to empty ourselves. We counsel others not to empty themselves, and we throw away the jars with just that much that will not come out left in them. That is, again, where Jesus is different from us. Jesus is able to be emptied. And indeed, part of the power of our faith is that the tomb is empty, right? Now I'm going to ask you, is the tomb really empty? Right? There's stuff. There's linen wrappings. There's guys sitting at the head and the foot of the tomb, depending on which gospel you're in. It's not quite empty. It's just not what we want there. Which, if you've raised teenagers, you may understand when they open the refrigerator and say, "There is nothing to eat here." When we use this passage, it is lyrically, poetically beautiful in a way that embeds itself into the conversations we have about faith going forward and backwards. What I want you to think about for just one brief moment is, how do we empty things? Right? If you're cleaning out the fridge from that little bit of leftovers that nobody's going to eat that you made sometime in March, where does it go? Goes down the disposal in the trash can. You may decide the container it's in is not worth salvaging, right? When you take out the trash, where does it go? When we empty things, we view them as finished and done and gone. If you empty out your email inbox, people tell me it can be done. I don't believe them. Right? It's over. There's no more work to do. Ding! Right? I mean, empty. Empty is over and finished. It's done. So I simply want to offer one image in terms of Jesus Christ being poured out and empty. There's still a little bit in there. And what I want to say is that it is far from over when Jesus Christ is poured out and emptied. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.